been a few big cases that have come to light in the last couple of days. The first I wanted to make mention of was Jarryd Hayne. He's obviously now been found guilty of sexual assault over an event that took place in 2018. And he shook his head at the decision when it was handed down. His mum and wife were in tears. Outside court, the 35-year-old maintained his innocence.
I'm keep standing for the truth.
Do you still maintain your innocence?
100%.
You've been found guilty twice.
Did I lie? That's factual evidence.
Two juries haven't believed your version of events. What do you say to that?
Nothing.
Two juries. This is the thing I find most interesting, the idea that he may look to appeal again. To understand a little bit more about this, learning that Hayne will return to court tomorrow, I'm joined by Calvin Ganek, the Managing Director of Ganek & Associates. Good afternoon to you, Calvin.
Good afternoon, Sophie. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Can you help me understand how it is these allegations have now been tested in three separate trials? Where does Hayne go from here?
So he, again, has a right of appeal to the Court of Appeal of New South Wales. It is an interesting set of circumstances. Rarely do you get to have three trials. He, as we know, originally, back in 2020, there was a trial where the jury was hung, second trial where Hayne was found guilty in 2021, and those convictions were overturned on appeal before the New South Wales Court of Appeal, and the Director of Public Prosecutions in New South Wales made the decision to proceed to a third trial, which was the outcome that occurred yesterday. I guess the most interesting fact perhaps for viewers is to understand the way the juries work in regards to trials of a criminal nature, and that is that there's 12 jurors. They deliberated for 6 days in regards to this matter, and that's quite significant. Rarely would there be deliberations of that long for a trial that lasted a relatively short period of time. And the jury actually came back and said they were unable to reach a verdict. And at that point in time, the judge provides a direction, what's known as the black direction, for them to go back, reconsider their position to see whether they can come to an outcome. Mm. And it was only after that direction that the jury then came back with the verdict of guilty.
Well, we'll watch to see what happens next. Of course, there's also now plenty of debate over whether or not Jarryd Hayne should lose his Dally M medals. There are obviously far-reaching consequences of whether or not he would be sentenced and then find himself behind bars. Would he actually go to jail even if he does look for a retrial?
Yes, so he will be sentenced, by the sounds of the court indication, he will be sentenced tomorrow. And what will be taken into account is the time he's already served from his first conviction. And yes, he will go into custody again, pending any challenge to the Court of Appeal.
We also just learnt in the news headlines at 1 o'clock the sentencing of Terence Kelly, the man who abducted Chloe Smith. And he has been sentenced today to 14 and a half years jail. He won't be eligible for parole until I think he serves 11 and a half years of that. It seems like a fairly long sentence.
Yes, it has only, as you indicated, come up on reporting in the last hour or so. So he was liable to a maximum of 20 years imprisonment. So it is a significant sentence and it is a significant period that he will not be able to apply for parole even. And with all due respect, so it should be in the circumstances of that case.
Absolutely, Calvin. But I think more broadly, and I know you and I have spoken about this subject before, I think for some of us, though, and I know obviously it's West Australia, it's not Queensland, but sometimes we also then see sentences that seem unbelievably light, particularly when there's a manslaughter plea instead of a murder conviction. You know, you look at a case like this and you think, how can that then be weighed up against some of the others that we've had high-profile cases where the sentence doesn't seem to A, fit community expectation or is grossly inadequate, I think, for many people on the outside looking in.
Yeah, Sophie, you're right. You and I have discussed this before. The whole manslaughter v. murder conviction, there does seem to be a large disparity in the outcomes of those types of matters. in other jurisdictions, and I don't like comparing Australia to America, but there are other offences in between the manslaughter and the first degree murder that allows for or causes a more significant punishment. But you're 100% right. When you look at the sentence handed down today in regards to the kidnapping, which is very serious, but no life has been lost, to some of those sentences where a life has been lost and there's been a conviction for manslaughter, you can understand the misunderstanding or the frustration in the community in that regard.
Changing topics, and Calvin, I know that you've got plenty of experience that you bring to the table when we talk about policing issues. I don't know if you ever served time in traffic, but I know you understand the way the laws work. Yesterday, we had a topic that really garnered a lot of feedback from our listeners. We talk about the fact that Queensland Police are planning on doing a bit of a blitz over Easter. Of course, we want people to be safe on the roads. But one of the things that it brought up was this possibility of people being charged with driving without due care and attention, particularly if they're found eating or drinking behind the wheel and it's a serious distraction. It could land drivers with a hefty $575 fine and 3 demerit points. Exactly what are we talking about here? And are we likely to see people charged with this over the Easter long weekend?
Listen, one would hope that the police apply some common sense, but it has always been the case that if you are engaging in conduct whilst driving that distracts you to such a point that you're not driving with due care and attention, you're liable for that offence. And that would include circumstances where you're eating to such a point that it's caused you to lose your due care and attention behind the wheel. Now, one would think common sense would prevail, and if you're taking a sip of your water that's in your drink holder, that police are not going to engage in commencing proceedings for something like that. But we've probably all been in traffic when we've seen someone handling, a double cheeseburger and chips and no hands on the wheels and driving with their knees against the steering wheel. They're the two extremes, I think.
And so I guess at the end of the day, it's understanding what we can and can't do behind the wheel, because if we're talking about things that distract a driver in a car, the list is long.
That's correct. And never ending. Moving into the Easter break, the death toll this year is quite high.
Yes.
Your viewers need to be aware of, the point system across the Easter break. Here in Queensland, there isn't a double demerit points holiday period, sanctioning period like there is in New South Wales. So if you cross the border over this long weekend and you commit a speeding offence or a mobile phone offence, you will face doubled points and doubled a penalty. In Queensland, it's a little bit different in that double points apply all year round on the basis if you commit a second offence in a 12-month period. So if you get caught today with driving whilst talking on your mobile phone, you'll get the standard points. But if you get it detected again in the next 12-month period for your second, third or fourth, you will get double the points and double the fine.
Have you found, Calvin, there are more and more cases of people trying to appeal a traffic offence, particularly if it's been with the mobile camera units?
Listen, you do. And I don't know whether that is primarily because there's any success. I find in my experience that the loopholes that existed when camera detection offences first came out have been sealed up. And once you get that ticket, a majority of the time there's little avenue to contest it. But what is relevant is in this day and age, everyone is so very reliant upon their driver's licence and pretty much cannot function properly with their family, their life, their professional life without a driver's license, and that sometimes is the motivation to contest matters as much as they can.
Calvin Ginnick, always a pleasure to have you on and to get a bit of a better understanding of what some of the legalities are around, particularly, as I mentioned at the outset, these high-profile cases that the rest of us try to make sense of. Calvin Ginnick from Ginnick & Associates, you have a wonderful afternoon.
Thank you, Sophie.
And if you need some legal advice, you can give Ginnick & Associates a call and you can go to their website, which is ginnicklawyers.com. The number is 3558 1040. You can always contact us if you would like to be put in touch with them.